This is Cynthia. I'm Chuck. This year, 59 years married. Which says a lot more for her than it does for me. We thought we'd get you a little bit acquainted with our background. We thought a number of you don't know these things, so we don't want to bore you with anything, but it might be helpful just to kind of orient you to our world. We dated from 1953 to 1955. I asked her to marry me when she was 16. And,
you're telling my story.
What?
You're telling my story.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, that's okay.
I waited that long to be sure that she was the right one, but that's when I knew. And then I was 18, and then when we married, she was 18 and I was 20. 6 years and more later, we began our family. Between the marriage starting and the beginning of the family, I did a hitch in the Marine Corps and thought I would be stateside, but the Marine recruiters lie. And so I went overseas for 16 months, and we were separated during that time because Marines can't bring their families with them. And we communicated because there was no internet and phone calls were too expensive. We communicated in writing. So we wrote love letters back and forth for that 16 months. I was deployed on the island of Okinawa. Came back, began seminary, Dallas Seminary, where we were for 4 years. And during that time, we began our family.
We did.
And a boy, and then we had a daughter, then we had another daughter, then we had another boy. So we have boys on each end, and girls in the middle. Anything you want to add to that?
I think that's a good overview.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. We were sitting at home thinking about how do we go about this, because if we spend the full amount of time that we should on the things we do wrong, we would have to take a lunch break to have time for all those things, because you do find out about a number of things later on. So we want to encourage you today. We don't want to make you frightened about anything, because we are here to tell you even the worst of situations have a wonderful way of working out when there's harmony, communication, and you have Christ in your life to help you through the snags and the difficulties that are sure to come. And I'm guessing it might be hard for some of you to think we've had hard times, but we have. We have wept together. We have grieved together. We have struggled together. We have argued together. We have gone through the full picture of life during these almost 59 years of marriage. And I will tell you today, it is worth it all. It is worth it all. Children came along, and that whole experience was different than we had ever expected, just as you were finding out, as you are beginning your family or you are rearing your family. So that's kind of a beginning.
Good.
You want to say anything else?
Well, I think with our starting dating really each other so early, on our first date, we talked the whole time. We went to a football game, which for you football lovers, as Chuck is, that is amazing, but he didn't see one play because we were just talking. And I think because we came from homes that we did not want to duplicate, though our parent, both sets of parents were believers, we had a lot to talk about. And that has been, I think, the key component that has given strength to our marriage. We decided early on that we would spend time talking every day in our marriage, which is done from 5 o'clock in the morning until 6, and it has been very, very strengthening.
We were talking about that this morning. We were having coffee together, and we realized we've been doing this for decades, and that has become for us a real clearinghouse of things. And it's never the same conversation. It doesn't always end neatly. Sometimes it brings up things that we come back to later on in the day. Other times it's a magnificent time of getting clarification, comparing notes on what our day holds for us, dealing with things that we're struggling with and worried about. And if it weren't for that time, by the way, when I travel, I miss that more than anything. I miss the time when we're talking together about life.
But that first date really set the stage for it. So 1 week later, I mean, we had had 4 dates, and we had talked the whole time, and coming from our backgrounds, when he asked me to marry him, I said yes. And that was the beginning of our relationship that just has grown like crazy, right, and helped us through some of our hard times. I think we need to move on.
We're going to start with what we didn't know at first, but later discovered. So in no particular order, these are random things. I've written down 12. She and I have worked together on. Then we've got things that we did well, and we're grateful for that. Another 12 if we've got time for everything. First thing I would list, no children are exactly alike, not even twins. They may look alike. They may have come from the same parents and be in the same environment, but every child is an individual. That's one of the most important things you can hear early on. We didn't know that at first. Well, I was raised in a family where all three were disciplined the same. All three were pretty well handled the same way. That's fine, except I had a genius for an older brother who brought home the most boring report cards you could imagine. You'd think there's only one letter in the alphabet. I had variety and all kinds of, but my dad didn't think that was funny. And then I have a sister who was Miss Personality, and then I came along. But all three of us are as different as we can be, and we're all hard-headed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So each child needs to be known. That's first. That's your job. We didn't know that. First task is to study your child, to know what my dad used to call, know about their put together, what is their temperament, what works for this child, and for some reason it doesn't work for that one. It's because they're different. And if you treat them the same in every way, even if you discipline the same in every way, you'll begin to lose one. One of our children was very easy growing up as a child. You could look at her and frown and she'd burst into tears. Our boys never burst into tears when you looked at them and frowned. It took a different kind of discipline for the boys. Now the other daughter was also different from the one I just referred to.
Oh yeah, she would she'd tease her way out of anything.
Yeah. Tell them about how we came to know about knowing your child.
Okay.
I think you could.
Well, that's on the positive page. Is that where we're going to go
next?
I want to go
whatever.
There next. I want to go to the positive.
You want to go there now?
I want to go there now.
See, this is the way life has been for these 59 years.
No,
take off, honey.
Let me tell you why.
Whatever.
Just so y'all know, we've known Dave, Carl, and Kathy for a long time.
Don't go into Dave.
I'm not.
Okay.
But we knew Dave back when he was in junior high school.
Right.
And Kathy was in elementary school. And so if you want to know anything about them, you can talk with us. But our kids ran around with their kids. And that's a great story. But I think the thing that we learned mainly came from a class that we had in our home called You and Your Child. And it was created by a Dr. Joe Temple, and we had classes in our home. We listened to the cassette tapes at that time and learned that's where children are different. They have to be handled differently. We had a son, our fourth child, Chuck, in third grade, had a teacher that was really abusive, and it bothered him terribly when she would wham the knuckles of one of the other children with a ruler, and then on one occasion sent him outside in the cold for punishment. And that totally turned him against education and represents something that I have regretted, because I didn't address this with the school until 6 weeks before school was out.
That's one thing we've learned later.
That's one thing we learned.
Yeah.
Handle things immediately.
Right now. Oh, I had no idea what was going on. I was pretty well removed from Chuck's third grade world, and he didn't feel comfortable telling us everything. And we realized later, even though he is one bright guy, seriously, but he shut down educationally. Didn't care from then on about school. And it was just like dragging him kicking and screaming into the next course, into the next year, because he had gotten so turned off because of this abusive teacher. They later fired her. We finally came to terms with it, reported it, and they wouldn't put up with it because, and they didn't know anything about it. But we realized the value of knowing about your kids' schooling, knowing what's going on there, talking about it with them so that they feel comfortable telling you about that.
And we had set up what we call a family council, where we would have the children come in about once a week, and we'd all sit on the floor in the family room and talk about the events of the week. They learned at that point, because we would not allow one child to interrupt another child as they were telling their story. We learned at that time if there was a need to ask for forgiveness, and that included mom and dad. We had in Irving, when we were there for 4 years, we had three unwed mothers that lived with us, not at the same time. And then we had a great big football player named Kent Tucker, who would come to the family council meetings with a helmet because he was a football player. And he never knew what was going to happen. But we were very open and about all of this. And it, I think, so strengthened our family life when we started Insight for Living and we would have HR problems. I said one day to our HR director, you know, we have these adults coming in with this issue and that issue. I honestly believe that my children in junior high knew better how to resolve conflicts than these adults know how. And it taught them how to do that. Mm. When they were really young, you know, well, I'm not going to let Colleen play with my toy because she'll always break it. And I learned from a passage in Leviticus that if you have possession of something that belongs to someone else, maybe they wanted you to take care of their cow while they went on a vacation or whatever, and something happened to that, in this case, to the toy, then you had to buy something 20% more valuable and give it to that the person whose toy it was. And you know, they really learned to share and to protect and to handle appropriately, you know, things that belong to someone else.
Right.
Or if they made someone else angry, there's another principle in the scripture about giving a present before you go to make amends. So those were little things that we would take up, you know, in these family councils, and very educational.
We are real big on respect and honoring.
Yes.
As our children are growing up. We learned that, I won't go into the details of how we learned it, but we have learned the value of listening when the other is talking, feeling when the other is crying, paying attention when something is related to someone in the family where there's been an offense. We don't just, as I was raised, you know, we're not going to worry about that. My mother and dad's world was the important world. My world and our and the kids' world was way, way down the line. We never operated like that. We've learned the value of respecting the space, the opinions, the concerns that they have, even though they're young, and sometimes have a hard time saying it. We would urge them to do their best to say it as best they could, so they could learn to verbalize what it was that was bothering them, that was a struggle for them. Because we went through that procedure, and I remember doing that again and again, we developed within our home, before very long, a sense of mutual respect. So that I would say today, that's one thing I observe about
really correct
our adult kid. They're all now grown and have their own families and their own children, and it's been great to watch how that has been passed down. I remember Colleen saying the other day to one of her kids, but that's not honoring. And that sounded familiar. Mm-hmm. We used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, that isn't honoring to the other. So they learn the words honor and respect as they're growing up in our home.
I think we may have taken that to a little extreme because we were not as proactive, I believe, as we should have been relative, for example, to their going to college, to getting more education, to learning how to handle their finances. I was thrilled to hear what Dave said about all of these different sessions that you're going to have together. Kurt and Deb were 19 years old, and they wanted to get married, and Kurt just did not want to go to USC. He wanted to become a computer geek, and he did beautifully with that. So their educations came after they got married rather than before, and I wish that we had handled that a little differently.
Right. Let me tell you a little about where we found ourselves as life began to get complicated for us. I began to write, and it led into a publishing career. And I've written a few books, and as a result, when you write and you have publishers, they want you to help promote the books. And of course, when you're a young writer, you want to do everything you can in that area, so the publisher kind of gives you your agenda. So I was on the road too much. I was away too much. I remember Cynthia saying to me one time, "Do you realize that you are never with Chuck? And you spend a lot of time with Kurt. We'd throw the football till dark. We'd go to ball games together. I would sit and take time with Kurt, our oldest, in a number of areas. But by the time Chuck was about that age, my world had spun off into a number of responsibilities, and I look back with regret when I think about that. Now, at the same time, right in the middle of that, the Ministry of Insight for Living emerged. We're living in California, and we have an opportunity to go on the air, and the man who brought up the idea is a terrific man named Al Sanders, and Al was a member of our church out there, and he would say to me, this really needs to be on the air, and we can help you do this. Al is an agent, and talked enough for me to say, look, if you want to do that, great. I've got plenty to do without that. He said, no problem. It'll never really get that big. I've sliced all of Al Sanders' tires on more than one occasion. I'm saying that. Because Al, facetious here, become a great friend. But I said, Al, why did you ever tell me? He said, you would have never gone into it if I'd have told you all that it would require. Now, someone had to run it. Miss Organization here is the one that ought to do that. And I remember saying to her before, I went on a senior high retreat with our oldest son. When I come back, you need to tell me if you want to do that or not, because I can't. And if you can't, we're going to shut it down. Well, I came back, and she said to me, I've met with the Lord. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. I think I should do that. And there's everything right about that decision. We breathed a sigh of relief. I called Al, and the ball started rolling, and we began. But it required a lot of time. So here I am in my world busy, and there she is in this world super busy. And we have a little boy, 8 years old.
Nine years old.
He
was nine. Kurt was 18.
Watching life go by. And before long, he built up a resentment for all of that. And I can understand why now. I was blind to the fact that virtually every conversation around the table was about either what I was dealing with in my publishing world or at the church, or what Cynthia was dealing with at Insight for Living. And I remember him saying one time, could we have one meal where you never talk about the church or Insight for Living, or your books? Just one meal. He was so exasperated, he had tears that came to his, and I think the light sort of went on. Mm-hmm. By then he was approaching his teen years, and we kind of lost Chuck for a period of time. During the backwash of our poor planning. The difficulty is the struggle or the dilemma of how you do what you believe. I'm not going to preach here, but what you believe the Lord wants you to do and is opening doors for you to do, and at the same time, hold your family close. Looking back, I would have talked about it with them. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that would have
helped? And not talked at times.
And not talked and given them a chance. How do you feel during this time? Do you feel we're gone too much? Do you feel we're distant from you or whatever? And I think the floodgates would have opened. But because we didn't bring it up, they kind of lived with it. So Cynthia lives with a lot of regret today. I'm not here to confess her sins. But she has said to me, she regret, and I'll tell you for myself, I deeply regret going on the road sometime for almost a week, coming back, cramming for Sunday on a Friday night and a Saturday to preach on Sunday, only to leave again the following Tuesday through Friday. And I regret that greatly.
But you,
and
you
I
didn't
wondered
do that.
For a while if we would ever win him back.
You didn't do that, I mean, every week.
No.
I mean, that was very rare, but it did happen.
I did it enough to where it left that impression.
I think one thing that would be helpful at this point is for you to understand, we firmly believe that the Lord restores the years the locusts have eaten.
Yeah.
And there have been opportunities since then for us to recapture, you know, some of the things that we feel that we had lost. We've done that through, you know, going to each one and telling them we regret certain failures and we want their forgiveness. And we had the biggest occasions, I guess, when our two girls' first marriages ended in divorce. And that carried with it some extremely difficult times, but it forced us to come together in so many ways that have been helpful. Mm. Shall I tell them about the match.com?
Sure, that's a great story.
These are illustrations of the ways that the Lord restores the years the locusts have eaten. Our daughter Carissa had left the family for a while, and when she came back, she came to work for Insight for Living. And in the meantime, we moved, and well, she moved. And then we, after the divorce was settled and Insight had moved to Dallas, or we were going to, and we were, you know, making all kinds of arrangements. And she was working for us as one of our managers. One day, we had a request from HR to interview a young man named Mark Gaither. So I didn't know anything about what had gone on behind the scenes, but Carissa had gone on to Match.com in order to establish some relationships. And that was a new thing to Mama and Daddy. And we were terrified. But anyway, to make that long story very short, a relationship had developed between her and Mark on the internet. And
we didn't know anything.
We didn't know anything about this.
She's an adult, and you know,
with two
we
children.
Don't spend every day going, "What have you done today? And what are you doing in your spare time? You're not on Match.com, are you?" Well, I'll tell you the other side. We were looking for a guy who was gifted as a writer to work for us at Insight. Well, this man applied, named Mark Gaither.
So
we did an interview with him.
Well, he came to the office to for the interview, and Carissa walked through the HR area to pick up a report, and he saw her and just, wow. But the reason he knew is that in the course of, I guess what they do, you talk through the internet, then you're going to get together for coffee. And he had invited her to come for coffee with him, and she had not responded. So 2 weeks later, he sends this email and says, "Well, I guess you do not want to have coffee." And she quickly answered back, "Oh, yes, I would love to." But she didn't encrypt her name. And so it was signed Carissa Swindoll. And he sent back an email. He said, "Are you related to Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll?" And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't encrypt my name. Yes, they're my parents."
We didn't know about any of this either.
And so
none of this.
So he said, "That's very interesting because I have an interview with your parents tomorrow afternoon."
Well, the good part of the story is I was nuts over it. I said to Cynthia, "That the guy is really gifted. I mean, look at the sample of his writing. I mean," I go, "you know, if I could get Carissa interested in anybody, I would hope she could meet this dude and maybe some.
And it was interesting at the end of the interview. I mean, Mark was, hey, oh, I'd love to work here. When can we get started? You know. Right.
He was a little over the top at that part.
Because he had just seen Carissa go through that.
Right. Well, she came over that night to see us.
And told us, you know, what had happened. So that ended greatly. And now he helps Chuck with some of his writing. And it's just...
He's one of my editors. Let me mention something here. as your children grow, and many of you are already aware of this, we weren't. We were so naive about many things. Life changes. So it changes in how you deal with them. When they become adolescents and teenagers, they want to talk about. They want to answer back. They want to know their favorite question, why? And I was raised with the answer, because I told you so. That doesn't work today. And we determined that's not a good answer. So if we're going to have a relationship with these kiddos, we need to be able to give an answer. And if we don't have an answer, I remember Cynthia saying it for the first time, we need to say, you know what, we don't really have a good reason. We probably shouldn't say no to that. We don't have a good reason. Well, your stock goes up in the minds of a teenager like that, rather than because I said so, which is an intimidating, it really is saying, I don't know, but I'm not going to let you get the best of me. You've got to give up who gets the best of somebody if you want a relationship. Well, now, I'm leading to something. As they become adults and they're dating, then you restructure a lot of the regulations and rules, because you gotta let the string out on the kite. You gotta give them more room. And if you do not, listen to me, you lose them. Or they spend their life keeping secrets from you. And we determined we're not gonna lose them. By then we've got enough smarts to say, you know what?
If we can possibly say yes.
That was the rule.
Yes.
Cynthia came up with this. She comes up with most of the good stuff. What people don't know is I get to preach it on Sunday, but I heard about it right here. So she said to me, I got a great idea. Unless we absolutely have to say no, let's say yes. I hope you never forget that. Unless we really have to say no, like, can I bring a girlfriend home with me and sleep with her in the back room? No. That's a no. But, Dad, can we camp out in the backyard? My quick response would be, no. Cynthia would say, why did you say no? What's wrong with him sleeping out in the backyard? And I said, well, you know, it's cold.
I'd set it up then.
Yeah, she'd build a little tent and all that. And I'd look at it and think, I'm such a klutz. Why did I say no to something that was that much fun? Oh, I got to where I'd stay out there with them and camp out with them.
That was
fun stuff. Speaking of camping.
Yeah, we did a lot of that.
We did a lot of that.
We did.
Right.
We
made one bad mistake. We bought a great big RV.
Don't tell about that.
No, I'm not saying it was large, but this room is about the size of the RV.
What we did do is we bought a new tent camper one time. We'd had a couple before. And I was so excited about it because we did a lot of camping in the summers. Chuck came home one evening. He said, hey, kids. Had you rather go to Hawaii or go camping?
Guess what they said? Of course! So that ended our camping experience.
We never used that camper, never. We finally gave it to some of our best friends that had seven children.
Yep.
And that worked. I want to tell about Colleen.
We're just getting wound up, you know. You can tell.
And we have less than 5 minutes.
I know. Go ahead. Are you through?
No.
Okay. All right.
Colleen has been our happy child, and it's a good thing because she has a child that is autistic and many, many, many challenges. But her marriage was not the right marriage, and you sometimes, her first marriage, you sometimes go through that. So we had them all move in with us when the marriage was dissolved, and we learned so much. But
we really rescued them. That's what happened.
But her daughter, her teenage daughter, was concerned after they'd been here for a year or so, was really concerned that Mom was lonely. And so she put Mom on Match.com.
I didn't know about that for a while.
And she was so glowing in her reports concerning her mom that Colleen got 400 hits. And so Colleen then found out about it, and she said to Ashley, well, I'll fix that. So she goes on the site and tells all about Jonathan. Only one person remained, and that was Tobin. And Tobin had had a little girl born with half a heart. And his wife had been unfaithful, and they were divorced. They got together. Tobin has been a dream.
He's fabulous. That's the guy she married.
He has been wonderful with Jonathan. He has taught, this is where God restores the years. He has taught Colleen because he's a Dave Ramsey fan. And so he's helped her become financially stable and wise. Has helped all the kids do that.
No, I guess I shouldn't say that. No.
Just so many things that now, the Lord has restored so much that was lost during those years of wandering. I think in closing, I would like to say that probably the things that I feel would summarize what we've tried to say today is that life is an adventure. And if you can wake up every day ready for whatever the Lord's going to bring, because there will be hard times, there will be challenges, there will be disappointments, but there's lots of good things. And if you can celebrate everything that you see in your child that is of value and worth, and help them explore into those areas, the artistic areas or writing areas or musical areas, then go with them through it. I think of two illustrations where Moses at the burning bush, that was an adventure that showed up one day, and his response was to argue with God, and he had to live the rest of his time with the children of Israel with sort of a noose around his neck with his brother and sister. So if you can be like Abraham, when God said, take your son, your only son, up the mountain, he got up the next morning in obedience. So if you can look at every day as an adventure with God and anticipate those events that the Lord's going to bring your way, it'll help tremendously. I think another thing that I would really say is to choose your battles wisely, and we've talked a little bit about that. And then cultivate a joyful spirit and a grace way of life with your children. When you do all of that, you'll be ready for the battles and the things that are won and of value in each child's life.
I want to wrap it up by telling you how I won Chuck back. Because I left that story unfinished, and you need to know it has a great ending. When he got out of high school, he split. He moved away with a bunch of guys in a place I call the Animal House, and they lived there, and Chuck worked at a joint in that town for the longest time, and he was really awash. distant from me, would hardly talk to me. And there was a sense of resentment. Well, he fell in love with a young woman who's a beautiful lady that he's since married. Her name is Jenny. And he's getting ready before the wedding to buy a motorcycle. And I knew he'd kill himself on that motorcycle. It was one of those, in the trade, we called a crotch rocket. Probably isn't a good term to use here, but it goes 60 in about half a second. And I said, I'll tell you what, son. What do you say my wedding gift to you is a new Harley? And we'll build it together. And he said, man, hey, it'd be great. So I'm thinking, we build it. And they take off on their honeymoon. She's hanging on the back, this new Harley. And I said to Cynthia, we need one of those. So she looks at me like, what in the world is wrong with you? You should have seen us when we went to the Harley shop to look at them, Chuck and Cynthia, sitting on Harleys. I said, get over here and hop on. You'll love it. She said, what if somebody notices us? I said, tell them we're Jim and Shirley Dobson. Of course, I realized then they don't know who Jim and Shirley Dobson is in those places. All right, long story short, I get one, and Chuck's thrilled. So we got two Harleys, and we ride together all over Southern California. They moved to Tennessee, and I'm struggling with the sense of distance that's been going on since he was a young teenager. And I deserve that, because I never made it right. And I said to Cynthia, when we're going to go visit him, I'm going to make it right. Don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. So we got there, and he said, hey, I got a buddy at the Harley shop. Let's borrow a bike. You can ride that. Let's take a ride on the old Natchez Trace, which is a great bike ride. So we're on the road riding along, and I motion, let's pull over here. We pull up by an old hickory fence, and we put the kickstand down and lean over and stand at the fence. And I said to him, I hope I can tell this. I said, I want you to know that the distance between us is my fault. He's looking down and looking at me and looking down. I said, I didn't know what I was doing. I think I had good motives, but I was stupid in that I was away too much. And I didn't give enough time when you needed me. And I want you to know how sorry I am. And one of the reasons I wanted a bike was to be able to ride with you. And we could at least have that in common. Would you please forgive me? And he stands about 6'1". He's taller than I am, and he reached over and he put his arms around me. He just squeezed me and he said, Dad, I forgive you. And let's never talk about this again. And we haven't. The reason I tell you this story, not to make me look good, I'm the bad guy in the story, but to let you know, the most forgiving people on the planet
will be your children. Will be your children.
Your children. Every person in this room is going to make some bad mistakes with your children. And I'm here to tell you, they are capable of hearing you acknowledge you're wrong, and they will never hold it against you if you seek their forgiveness. It may take them a while. In Chuck's case, he was ready. And the Lord was in that moment, mm-hmm. wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I look back on that and it was just perfect. That damp morning on the Natchez Trace Road by that fence. I could take you there and show you exactly where we were. It was the moment. And he said to me, I forgive you, Dad. It's settled. To this day, Scouts Honor, every email he writes, every text he sends, every phone conversation we had ends with, I love you, Dad. Isn't that great? I love you, Dad. I never heard those words during his growing up years once there was that distance. But as a result of the forgiveness factor, the bridge was built between us. And Cynthia and I could tell you other stories with all of our kids. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could sit here and say, we never blew it. We blew it so many times. But the good thing is we had built enough structure in our home where we could address it. And if we would not be defensive of that, but would say it, mm-hmm. they were capable of hearing us. Because remember, respect and honor, they learn to listen. They learn to pay attention when someone is apologizing. And out of respect and honor, mm-hmm. they forgave us.
And you do it from the time they're 2 years old. From the time they can talk.
Yeah.
You acknowledge the things that you do that are wrong, and you ask them to forgive you.
Right. We went a little long, and we want to thank you for listening. As we talk about this, we left out more than we included, but maybe you get the gist of what a home is about when you've got little children that you're growing up with. You're learning more than they are. And there is no guidebook. You're right, Dave. We wish there were, but there isn't. Thank you.
Yeah. When you go out and look at the Insight for Living products, Biblical Parenting is a series that we have, and it's 12 lessons. If you want to go into classes with a few of your friends, it's exactly what we did at the beginning of raising our children.
We cover all these bases in
all of them are in that book.
Yeah.